Okay, here we are. And always working during the break, so forgive the slight pause at the end of the music. The situation in Ukraine is not looking better. Now, from a military standpoint, and I'm not a tactician or a strategist or a veteran like Mitch is, but what I'm seeing there is that the musicians are just a remarkable fighting force. And if you heard Russell Bentley on the program, he concurred 100%, and he lives there in Donetsk, and he's a military veteran, and he said these guys are just incredible what they're doing. And that's not to knock in any way the Russian army, the Russian Air Force, or any other part of the Russian military. But to have an organization like PMC Wagner is an extraordinary asset. Now, that said, what's going on in Bakhmut is the meat grinder, and it's grinding up more and more of the city. The Wagnerians took the administration building and city center and raised the flag and did it out of respect and honored the murdered war correspondent Tartarsky, who was killed in St. Petersburg. I'm sure we're going to talk more about that. Obviously, another Ukrainian hit with Western intelligence fully in assistance. And one can only hope that at some point, Russia will get even for this crap. I'm sick and tired of the stories of Ukrainian artillery, Ukrainian drones, Ukrainian weapons killing innocent civilians. I've been listening to it since 2014, and it hasn't stopped. Remember, the Ukes killed 15,000 Russian-speaking civilians in Donbass from 2014 till the start of this special military operation. So there we go. There's a lot going on. The West continues to put men and materiel into this fray. Make no mistake about the men part. They're there. There are now British Challenger 2 tanks, allegedly, in the Bakhmut area, ready to go into action. There may be, I don't know how many thousands of Ukrainian troops there on the western side of the city, the west. They've lost the east. They've lost downtown. They're on the way out. But Zelensky, has no problem killing off Christian Ukrainians in uniform. None. Happy to do it. Hello, Mitch. Welcome back.
Hello. Good to be here.
Yeah.
Tonight I want to talk a little bit more about some perspective on the big picture here. Okay.
Very good. Yeah. What did you make of the Tartarsky murder in St. Petersburg?
No, that was definitely carried out with American assistance.
For sure.
You know, no doubt about it. And just you got to think about the hypocrisy. Think about our leaders. Our leaders are such the big hypocrites, such double standards for everything, okay? But you see, we're the same in this war because during the 2003 invasion of Iraq and the Iraq War in 1990, we had expended a lot of depleted uranium rounds. And then there was lawsuits upon lawsuits. There was pressure on the VA to deal with the health hazards that resulted from the use of depleted uranium. Okay. And it was a big thing, and they were like, oh, we can't have this. We simply can't use this. But it's okay to send it to Ukraine to fire at civilians and Russians and stuff. It's okay if it's them. It's the hypocrisy. Or we stopped using cluster munitions because there's always the problem that some of these don't go off and little kids go out and pick them up and blow themselves up. And for this reason, over 100 countries in the world outlawed cluster bombs, okay, for that very reason. So what is the United States sending Zelensky? Cluster bombs, because they're going to be used on Russians. Russians are white people. It's okay to do that to them, you see. It's their overwhelming hypocrisy. But let me talk about Russia's enemy. and that is United Sodomites of America. What are we fighting for? We're fighting for American values. And what are American values? Sodomy, atheism, anti-white racism. Those are American values.
LGBTQ, drag queens, trannies.
Exactly, right. Exactly. Sexualizing the kids in school. It is not just my observation. It is the official policy as stated by government officials. So last week, National Security Spokesman John Kirby stated the following, and I quote him, LGBT rights are something that is a core part of our foreign policy, and it will remain so. Okay, this is what we're spending $120 billion in Ukraine for. This is why we're killing people all over the world. This is why we're sanctioning countries, because they won't be faggots, and they won't be sissies, and we demand that they be. And if they don't be, then we're going to rain hell upon them. This is what America stands for? Excuse me, I don't think so. This is not what America is supposed to stand for. But right now, officially, that is what America stands for. Last week, Vice President Kamala Harris went to Accra, Ghana, and said in a press briefing with Ghana's president that, well, first let me just say, she went there because, see, Africa will not sanction Russia, and Africa is friendly with Russia. So they think, oh, we'll send a black vice president to Africa, and they'll just be in awe, and they'll fall into line with us. Okay, well, that's not what happened. She said, when she landed in Accra, she said, LGBT rights were an issue that we considered to be a human rights issue, and that we will not change, echoing what Kirby said, okay? The Ghanaian Speaker of Parliament, Mr. Bagben, replied, quote, Ghana will pass its Family Values Act regardless of what Harris says. These things should not be tolerated. That is undemocratic. What is democracy? That someone else would have to dictate to me as to what is good and what is bad? Unheard of. Okay. Also, just today, the United States said it's going to sanction Uganda. Well, let me get to that in a minute. So the Ghana law makes it a felony to have same-sex intercourse, garnering 3 to 5 years in prison, and promoting homosexuality is 5 to 10 years in prison. So the United States has been threatening Uganda and Kenya with sanctions if they do not legalize LGBT sex in their nations and give special protections to gay people and put them into power and influence in their nations. Last week, Uganda approved a law that made aggravated homosexuality punishable by death and recruitment, promotion, and funding of homosexual activities with up to life in prison. And today, the United States formally sanctioned Uganda for passing that law. Now, is that promoting democracy overseas? Is that promoting peace overseas? What the hell are we doing? What are we doing? Is this what we want? Is this what the people of the United States want? Are we that shining beacon on the hill? Are we dark Satan out to corrupt and destroy humanity and morality? I think it's the latter. And that's the way they see it. In 1980, I was out protesting Iran, and Iran was screaming, America is the great Satan. Okay, now I see what they're talking about. Okay. Took me 43 years, but now I see what they're talking about. Okay.
Yep.
So, can we see why the world wants to stop using U.S. dollars in trade? Because the way they are able to sanction Uganda is through the dollar. The U.S. uses the trade dollar to blackmail nations into supporting homosexuality and perversion. Many people actually think that homosexuality is morally wrong. I think it is. I thought it was my whole life, okay? You know, the good book says it is. It makes very clear that it's an abomination to God, even though many churches now say, oh, no, God loves these people, and he encourages them to do it. They know he does not. And that's actually kind of blasphemy to say that God supports homosexuals. He doesn't. He says he doesn't, you know. So in domestic policy, the Biden regime put sexual perversion before children. After the shooting of 3 9-year-old children by a sissy in Nashville, the incestuous pedophile Biden stated, quote, "Transgender Americans shape our nation's soul, proudly serving in the military, curing deadly diseases, holding elective office, running thriving businesses, fighting for justice, and raising families, and much more." Here we go again. In the past 20 years, it was black people who built America, who made us great. Next iteration is it's gay people who built America and made it great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I have to call bullshit. Transgender people shape our nation's soul. Lord forbid it would be a delusional soul destined for hell.
That's what Biden said, friends. That's what Mitch just said was a direct quote.
Transgender people shape our nation's soul, and they blow our little kids away in Christian schools. Proudly serving in the military and ruining it for everyone else, destroying our combat effectiveness. Excuse me, but exactly which deadly disease did a tranny ever cure? Just because he appointed a tranny as a head of the U.S. Public Health Service does not make that sissy responsible for curing any disease. And I'll say tranny to say precisely who I'm talking to, but I prefer to call them sissies because that's derogatory, okay? And they don't deserve the respect that the government wants to give them.
No, they don't. And the respect that they're being given in the media by being addressed as some kind of a viable, valid social political movement. No.
Oh, yeah.
This is pure evil.
Pure evil.
That's what it is.
What trannies are is they're an embodiment of Baphomet. They are the highest praise any human can give to Satan is becoming a tranny. Okay. So, holding elective office, while most trannies in government are appointed by the woke regime, running thriving businesses, where are the numbers? This is not the case. Fighting to ensure injustice, raising families, Lord forbid. These are all lies. This comes right out of the mouth of an incestuous pedophile that had sex with his daughter in the shower, and he's the president of the United States. No wonder we're in this shape. So Karine Jean-Pierre had this to say about the shooting in Nashville. Quote, "It is shameful and disturbing, and our hearts go out to the trans community." Children and not to the Christians, to the trans community. They are the perpetrators of the crime, and our hearts are supposed to go out to them? These people are totally insane. Can you see that we have a pedophile president, so tranny lives are more important than children's lives? Mark my words, people. Transgenderism is pedophilia. Drag queen story hours are grooming towards pedophilia. That's what it's about. How can people be so naive? So Madonna was having a concert in Nashville, and she says that she's going to give all the money that comes from that concert to the trans community, not to the victims, not to the Christians that are killed, not to the little kids' families, but to the trans community, the perpetrators of the crime.
Incredible.
It's just incredible.
The world must just be unable to process some of this. That they see going on.
I think the world is very turned off by us. Americans
disgusting.
Can't understand why. Why doesn't anybody want to be our ally? Why don't they want to be our friend? Because we're a bully, we're perverted, we're immoral, we're detestable. And why would they want to be in bed with us, you know?
And you know, when the nukes fall, no one out there in that world to speak of is going to mourn the loss of the great Satan here.
Think it a glorious, wonderful day. So, are these your values, America, making LGBT people a special category with special protections, murdering babies and sexual grooming of your children into LGBT lifestyles, the disenfranchisement and open hostility to Christians and white people? Those are America's values, but they're not my values. I detest those values. I don't even think using the word value is appropriate. To say American values is an oxymoron because they're immoral values. They're not positive values. They're negative.
And then we have the whole Planned Parenthood, the butcher shop, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They're making a fortune on all the meat they cut out of women. Fetuses. Talking about hysterectomies. I don't know if they do hysterectomies there or not, but that's another big business. They're pulling the blood out of these late-term aborted fetuses. It's called adrenochrome, and they're selling it. I know they are. This is a big, big storehouse full of adrenochrome, and they got as much as they want. Just butcher those fetuses. It's all astonishing. Astounding.
Let me talk a little bit about NATO's Plan B, because this is where we're going to run into trouble. Okay. NATO has a plan to deal with Russia once they advance to the Dnieper River. Their plan is to save a rump Ukrainian state so it can maintain hostilities to Russia and keep Russia destabilized in perpetuity. Think about this, people. 1 or 2 months into the war, Russia had invaded to get Ukraine to just come to the negotiating table and agree to be neutral and not be a threat to Russia. That's all they wanted. But the United said no. U.S. said no. The U.S. is for war. The United States hates peace. They want war. They want to make everybody miserable in the whole world, okay? So they want to keep Russia miserable. They can't let things go. They can't leave people alone. They can't leave people in peace. They just can't do it. They can't do it here at home, and they can't do it overseas. They reason that they can flood NATO troops into western Ukraine west of the Dnieper River so that Russian troops would not engage them and thereby save the Ukrainian state. This is their thinking. Once the NATO troops have occupied western Ukraine, they would declare a no-fly zone over Ukraine. Yeah. This is what we have done for other to poor third world nations, so we think we can do that to Russia, and Russia will accept it. Make no mistake, NATO troops entering Ukraine is the same as NATO entering the war as a belligerent. Yet the 101st Air Mobile Division and the 82nd Airborne Division have been practicing for this and are ready to go. But keep in mind, that's two American divisions. I know we think that's like 1,000 foreign divisions, but that's just not so, okay? We do lose most of our wars. Keep that in mind, okay? So Russia has made clear that if any NATO troops enter Ukraine, they will be attacked forcefully and without quarter. They will destroy them. Our NATO planners still think that if some Ukrainian offensive is launched, that Russia will resort to tactical nukes. That may be so, but let's look at the facts. The fact is that the U.S. and NATO have already said that if Russia uses tactical nukes, NATO will immediately attack Russia, but with conventional weapons. So I'm telling you right now that if Russia ever thinks it is necessary to use a tactical nuke, they will unleash a total nuclear war, and the Russian nukes will hit U.S. cities. They're not going to fire a nuke anywhere unless they fire it everywhere. That's just the fact. Don't let these deluded politicians allow you to think anything different, okay? They don't want you to know that their gambit, they're risking your life for their gambit of power. Absolutely. And control over the world.
Yeah,
they're risking your life for that, not their life, your life. Right. Our fundamental problem is that we have become used to shaping the narratives of every battlefield, but the enemy often does not agree. You see, we have been very successful at invading very small nations with very weak militaries. So we had a victory in Grenada and Panama, but not in the poor nations of Iraq, Syria, Libya, Somalia, or Afghanistan. In nations with at least a good military, like Korea or Vietnam, we did not win either. So why do they think that we can win? Because of the fiction that the USA won World War II. We did not. The Soviet Union won the war in Europe. They did all of the hard fighting, not us. Russia lost 60 million people in World War II. In Asia, it was China that bore the brunt of the fight against the Japanese. China lost 20 million troops, and up to 100 million Chinese civilians died. The United States lost only 400,000 killed in action in all theaters of the war. The real victors of World War II were Russia and China. We have believed our own lies and internalized them. Our greatest attribute is arrogance. So now America wants war with Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, and Syria, and of course Mexico at the same time. We absolutely do not have a military that can handle such a war. We historically have not won wars unless someone else is doing the bleeding for us. America has never fought a major power on its own. NATO is not a separate power. They are all puppet governments of the United States. To think that they're somehow independent and democratic is insane. They're not. They have to obey us. We came out of World War II as the predominant power because our homeland was not attacked, because the logistical lines to support an invasion of the USA are so long and vulnerable that such an invasion will not happen. We let the major powers of the time exhaust their military during the war. Before the war, the UK, France, Russia, Germany, and Japan had the biggest and best militaries. The USA did not register as a great power then. After those armies were destroyed, the USA became the great power by default. By default. Affirmative action. America became the leader of the world by affirmative action, you might say. Or DEI, right? In World War III, Americans will be dying for black racism and LGBT rights. This war is not in the interest of white or Christian Americans. It is progress towards the extermination of Christians and white people and rule by sodomites.
You got
that
it.
That is what we are all about.
When we were younger, I made this point earlier. It's not a big point, but it's so true. When we were kids, or when we were in college, whatever, and this whole LGBT thing had popped its head up, it would have been smacked down, and it never would have made the news except as a laughable topic. Look at the traction it gets now. Constant promoting, constant support from the communist Bolshevik media. And now, in addition to that, who else is getting that? I mean, the LGBTQ could be a political party now. It could be. It could be a minor political party in this country. And then you've got the drag queens who are getting support all the time. Oh, they're just having fun. And little kids, look at the kids having fun. Look at the audience at the LGBTQ pride parades. Look at the audience at the drag queen shows. What are they? Fat, white, Caucasian women and their children, the little kids they're bringing there. And now we've got the trannies. And they're getting a red carpet treatment from the media as well. So you got another deviant group, a third deviant group. When we were young, these people never would have gotten out of the gate. They would have been quashed and gone. Gone. No more.
Yes, I think so. I look at everything really. It became solid lockdown as soon as Biden was sworn into office. In other words, he declared this policy of racism gay and atheism.
Let's just take it further, though. Obama declared the policy through his mouthpiece, Biden.
Yes.
Obama's running this thing. Now, Obama, he's married to a guy. He got away with that for 8 years. Big Mike. Yep. It's a guy. Yep. So we've had trannies running wild in full public view for a long time, and they're behind us. Don't forget it.
So I wanted to cover some aspects of the Bakhmut propaganda. Okay, it is compared to Stalingrad in the news all the time. Yeah. But let's come down to earth. Stalingrad was the biggest and deadliest battle of World War II. There were 868,000 German casualties, 1,129,000 Soviet casualties, and over 1 million civilian casualties. Almost 3 million casualties over 7 months of the Battle of Stalingrad. This was the turning point of World War II, and it was the Russians who achieved it. The Allies did not invade Normandy Beach until 1 year and 4 months after Stalingrad. Notice what we did is we let Russia bleed, we let China bleed, then we come in late and grab the victory, right? Grab the thing, look what we did and stuff, okay?
That's right.
But we didn't pay the price. We intentionally let Russians pay that price, okay? So look what we're doing now. We're letting Ukraine pay that price right now.
Yes. We think
we're going to flood Western Ukraine and solve the problem. No, we're going to get humanity destroyed is what we're going to get, you know. So
9 out of 10 German military on the Western Front were from countries all around occupied Europe and volunteers from those countries.
Yep.
They were not Germans. The Germans were fighting in the East, the most brutal war ever. And they literally could not kill the Russians, Soviets, fast enough. They couldn't do it. And that's what happened. They were overrun.
Yeah.
And then look at the price the German people paid.
Yeah.
Horrible.
So at the time that American forces hit the beach in Normandy for D-Day, Russian troops had already captured back all of Russian territory, Poland, and had troops entering Germany before we landed in Normandy Beach. Okay, it could be said that the landing at Normandy was not aimed at Germany, but at the U.S. grabbing as much of Europe as it could. It could be said that America's war against Russia began on June 6, 1944. From 1989 until now, the USA conquered all of Europe and now on Russia's frontier in active war. We do not see it this way because our narrative, we are the good guys and the heroes. Really, we stand for sodomy, pedophilia, man-hatred, and hatred of white people, hatred of Christians. Do we really support this immorality and hatred? I think not. You can tell that America is not a free country because I think very few Americans would want to support this. Like 95% of Americans naturally wouldn't want to support it. Realistically, counting for the brainwashed, let's say that 80% would not want to support those values. And yet this government is supposed to represent us. I think it doesn't represent us at all. It represents Satan is what it represents, not us. So when they talk of Stalingrad, we must understand it clearly. Zelensky is the Hitler that refuses to do a strategic withdrawal from Bakhmut and allows his army to be destroyed there. Putin is the Stalin who lured the Ukrainian army into the kill box of Bakhmut. So what happened after Stalingrad? The German army was destroyed. So Germany marshaled as much troops as possible to stop the Russian breakout of Stalingrad. They decided to counterattack the advancing Russian army at Kursk. Kursk is the largest tank battle in history. This wasn't in a city. This is in open terrain. Okay, it basically finished off the German army. It cost over 470,000 German casualties and 863,000 Russian casualties. The Russian army destroyed the German army at Stalingrad, then swept forth to take half of Europe. Okay, so what's happening in Bakhmut?
They would have taken all of it. Your point, though, is important.
Yeah.
They would have taken all of Europe if there weren't Normandy in 1944.
That's right.
That's why we went there, to try to save some of Europe.
Exactly, for us, to be our puppets.
That's for us, of course. Pat knew all this.
So this is the interpretation of Bakhmut. Russia is destroying the Ukrainian army in the kill box of Bakhmut. Once it falls, the Russians will sweep forth to the Dnieper River with little resistance. NATO is under the illusion that they can occupy western Ukraine and put it under NATO protection. They are delusional. Russia's objective is a neutral Ukraine, and the war is over. The war is over, NATO encroachment to begin with. Russia will attack and kill any NATO troops. Remember that NATO is a defensive alliance, so if NATO troops are attacked on Ukrainian soil, that does not trigger Article 5. Only applies if it is an attack on NATO soil. Okay? Even if you kill a NATO soldier outside of NATO, that doesn't invoke the treaty. Okay? So NATO, Ukraine is not NATO soil. However, under international law, those NATO troops make their nations party to the war, belligerents. Russia can declare war on NATO, as NATO is the invading force. Okay. So this is a big illusion. The narrative, even about Bakhmut, they have it all backwards. Not only that, but here's another backwards thing: is for every Russian soldier, 10 Ukrainian soldiers get killed. Okay, so that would make the Ukrainians sort of like the Russians were. They were getting lots of people killed, but Russia only has 1 for 10. But look at it the other way: is they're used to taking much larger casualties, so they haven't even began to fight yet. Okay, they have not showed us what they can do.
Don't forget
so let
about
me talk
50,000 North Korean commandos on the way.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thing too: is you know what we have to look at? I want to talk a little bit about Ukrainian army discipline. Okay. When I was a soldier, one of my jobs was as an evaluator. For example, back in 1978, I was assigned to the Army Marksmanship Training Unit, or MTU. We were tasked to evaluate the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment at Fort Bliss. They were graded on well-established standards. No fudging on grades was appropriate because telling them they are good when they are not will get the troops killed in combat. Not like our current army that says diversity is their strength. No, it is not. It is something to be overcome, not something that adds to your abilities. It is the opposite of esprit de corps. So, I have been poring over battle footage of Ukrainian and Russian forces. What I see does not lie. So, above all, is discipline. Discipline indicates the morale of the troops. Well-disciplined troops have better field craft and combat survivability than poorly disciplined troops do. So let's look at the soldiers themselves. Ukrainian troops have brightly colored armbands for command and control of the troops. Well, trained and disciplined troops need a minimum of control features. Placing armbands show that they are poorly trained and very, very poorly led troops. These brightly colored armbands make it easier for the enemy to detect you, see you, and kill you. The Ukrainians are using the bright colors on their soldiers' uniforms because it shows that the Ukrainian NCOs and officers do not know their own men, and that fire discipline is so poor that they have to color code their troops to avoid them coming under friendly fire. That's very poor fire discipline. And that means no discipline, okay? This extends to Ukrainian armored vehicles. They paint the turrets or sides in bright colors so they can control them, but it makes them into easier targets. So even elite armored or mechanized units of the Ukrainian army have poor leadership, leadership that would be indispensable in an offensive. Anyway, Zelensky's already kind of backing off any idea of an offensive anytime soon. He simply doesn't have anybody to do it with, you know? So the best indicator of...
Invisible divisions. Is it not?
Oh, yeah, I'm
sure
all
dead.
Plenty
They're
of them.
Dead.
Yeah.
He's killed them all.
Yeah.
They're dead.
Yeah. All his best troops are gone already. Yeah. So the best indicator of poor training, discipline, and leadership is looking at Ukrainian field positions. They are littered with trash, lots of white waste paper, bright plastics, and other trash that reveals their position. It reveals their position from the air and from the ground. If you can be seen, you can be hit. This is why they're dying. Okay, this makes them easy to kill. There are no trenches between major bunkers, meaning that they are exposed going to the bunker to help the enemy locate the bunkers.
Right.
The defensive positions, they don't have... It's like I see them shooting from their defensive positions, and it's just like the flat earth comes up, and they're shooting out of their hole on that. What they should have is some dirt berms and logs and stuff there to catch bullets, a little bit of cover, because when they pop out of their hole, they're easy to see. They're not even going through that trouble of protecting themselves from that, okay?
They're being sacrificed. They're just being
thrown away. Yes. There's no grenade sumps in their holes or trenches. That makes it too easy for the enemy. Let me describe what a grenade sump is. So you dig your foxhole, and then at the floor of the foxhole hole should slant in towards, say, the front. And then in the front of the foxhole, you dig a hole, about 4 to 6 inches big, and you dig it deep down into the ground away from the foxhole. So when somebody throws a grenade in, the grenade is going to roll down that hole, okay? Even if you don't pick it up, it's going to roll down that hole if you have it dug right. When it gets down that hole, all you have to do is lean against the front of the foxhole, and all that will blow out, all the shrapnel will blow out the back into the back.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they don't even dig those, all right? The thing is, I see no aiming sticks, and I see no range cards on any of the Ukrainian soldiers. Nothing like that. And let me describe what an aiming stick is. So, in the daytime, you look at your avenues of approach, and you pick out areas where the enemy is going to get. Say the enemy is going to get behind a tree somewhere. There's a big tree. That's a good place for the enemy to get behind and shoot at you. So what you do in the daytime is you take your rifle and you aim it towards the tree. You put two front stakes to lay the gun into, then a back stake to push it up against. Then at nighttime, when you can't see, you can just put it in the aiming stakes and you can just shoot, and it'll go to the tree where you're trying to hit the guy. You don't make it in the center of the tree, but to the side of the tree where the guy's likely to be shooting, right? So this is something that every infantryman should do. It's your life in your hands, and this is what you should do. And range guards, just a little card where when you pick out these places where the enemy might hide, where they're likely targets, you also just write down for your memory's sake how many meters away they are so that you know what kind of range you're shooting at. So these are all fundamental to the trade of the infantryman. And the Ukrainians, I don't see it. I don't see any of this. I've told you before, they just walk to the thing, clustered together. There's no spreading out so they don't get blown away by artillery. There's no, you know, it's just like they don't do bounding overwatch to make a movement to contact. They just all walk up there like a gaggle to make their attack or whatever, you know. Where's the field craft of these people? There is none. No, they don't have any training.
Not at all.
And I watched some training videos of the training they're giving them, and it's worthless. It's sort of like just intended to give the soldiers a feeling like they've been trained or something, you know, because they have not been trained. That's for sure. So I don't know. We're just we're headed down that path, and for what do I want everybody in the world to become a faggot or a sissy? You know, is that what I want? Is that what I was born for? Is that my purpose in life, to shed my blood and the blood of my children and all my treasure, to work hard to make it so that gay people can be gay all over the world, and we can encourage gay into everything, you know? I would say, are these people on LSD? But I'm thinking, no, people on LSD usually have it a bit more together than these people have
right.
It.
I was going to suggest that. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are we fighting for, right? It's not a good thing.
1, 2, 3, 4. What are we fighting for? LGBTQ, drag queens, and trannies.
Yep. That's what it's all about. So, I mean, we see this stuff happening every day. Something else that I should mention, because I have been talking about this, is more and more countries are dumping the dollar. More and more countries are trying to get away from us. You know, a lot of countries now they're doing their trade between each other. Now, usually, what happens is the two countries that are going to do the trade, they just figure out a mechanism for settlement of payments and stuff. Okay, which is perfectly okay. You don't have to have that. It's put this way: you don't have to have that superstructure that one person has control over. And that's what they want. This is a banker's war, too, okay? Because the international financial system is under attack. And who is it under attack from? They're under attack from themselves, because they're the ones who laid the sanctions that made people decide, you know what, the hell with these dollar bills, there's too many strings attached. To make settlements in those dollar bills, we make money from that. And that costs them money. So they're cutting out a middleman by getting rid of the U.S. dollar. You know, it makes trade cheaper. And it gets an overbearing, bullying American out of your hair. You know, can people understand that the fact that they want to go to other countries and they want to make those people accept and promote gay people, sodomy, that they want to make them people do that? Can you see the correlation here at home? They're in our public schools wanting to make your kids into LGBT people. That's what they want to do. They're doing it overseas. They're doing it here. It's almost like they're single-minded, like the most important thing in the world is to be LGBT, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, how is that a national goal or national objective or national interest in any way, shape, or form?
No,
you know?
No chance, no.
What about the other 95% of us out here, you know? Nothing for us.
Who aren't,
I guess,
making any kind of noise, who aren't out in the streets, who aren't even holding up a single placard anywhere. They're afraid. They're not doing anything.
Oh, yeah, they're very afraid. I mean, and look, the fear is going to come down more and more, you know, because, listen, if they can arrest Donald J. Trump, ex-president of the United States, on some petty charges, and they will probably, they very likely could get a conviction because they're stacking the juries with people that hate him, okay? So what's his chances of a fair trial are pretty low. But that's not just for you, Mr. Trump. That's for me. That's for Jeff. That's for everybody out there. They are showing you that they are going to put you in jail for your political beliefs. You're going to go to jail for that. You're going to go to
that's
jail
right.
for your religious beliefs.
Oh, that's exactly right.
You're going to go to jail for all of them. You are the enemy, and they make it very clear that you're the enemy. And but we just accept it, I guess. It's see what's on TV, you know. That's how we respond, you know. Let's relax, have a beer, you know.
It's all sickening. Get the ball game on.
Yeah, it is.
You know, come on. It's just, jeez. Sad.
Oh, yeah. It was,
Pathetic.
Yeah, it's
March Madness. That's all that counts.
You know, it all comes down to what they started doing is the biggest advancement in civilization actually is entertainment, okay? Because to be entertained in 1880, okay, you might be entertained for a couple hours a week or a month or a year in some cases, okay?
But
your day-to-day life didn't have entertainment in it. But look at our lives now. We have layers of entertainment. We have cable TV entertainment, movies entertainment, music entertainment.
Escapism. Responsibility.
Yeah. And reality. All this entertainment has shaped people's views, has shaped the way they understand the world.
They think that's the way it is.
Yes, they do. They do.
It's unbelievable, the programming that has been done to this country.
Oh, yeah. Plus all the drugs. I mean, if you look at the psychotropic drug industry, I mean, how many billions of dollars? I mean, it's like oil or gold or something, okay?
Uh-huh.
But how many how many millions of Americans are on Prozac or SSRIs or, you know,
tons.
Tricyclic antidepressants or something, you know? How many? So many people. I mean, this is how people get through life, is they take these pills, you know? So, and what do those pills do? They change your consciousness. Now, I hear people say, oh, I take these pills and nothing changes. Oh, no, lots changes. It's just sort of subtle and you're not noticing it, but it definitely changes your outlook and the way you deal with things and stuff, okay? So if we give these to people in mental asylums to get them to calm down, what are they doing to us, right?
It's all true. It's all true. Don't forget we always have alcohol, too, underlying a lot of it, if not most of it.
Oh, yeah. And you know, if people would stop and think even about alcohol, why do people like alcohol? Well, because there's social pressure. Oh, yes, I enjoy this. I like it and stuff like that. You know, but just you see a little kid taking a drink of a beer or something, what's the reaction you get?
Yeah.
You know, usually it's the sour look on their face.
Hey, I've always said if beer tasted as good as, relatively speaking, Coca-Cola or Pepsi, we'd be a nation of dead alcoholics. They wouldn't stop drinking it. Beer does not taste good. Not to me.
Yeah, not only that, but the feeling that it gives you, I mean, okay, you can enjoy it, but what about that hangover? Do you enjoy that, you know? And so is this something that you actually really, truly enjoy, or is this something you've been talked into
It's conditioning. condition.
Yes, it was with cigarettes, too. I mean, I smoked cigarettes from 13 to 21. I was lucky when I was 21. I said, what the hell am I doing this for? You know, it makes me feel like, makes it feel like a road crew is going through my lungs, paving it. You know, so I just stopped cold turkey. You know, and I look back and I think, well, you know, when I was in it, it was like a whole culture of smoking, you know, like sneaking out under the bridge and smoking, you know, when you're
for
a teenager,
sure,
and stuff, and and all this kind of stuff. It's like you are really trained to do that and stuff, because look, we decided we didn't want to do it anymore as a society, and look at how few people smoke now, you know. It's like, why is that? Well, maybe it was didn't make you feel that good after all, you know. So you were just sold into this, right?
I agree.
So when we look at this, just keep in mind all these people that make these commercials, you know, to do it. If you look at the organization table of the U.S. Army Psychological Warfare Units, most of these units are not active duty units. They're reserve units, and they're in places like Madison Avenue, because who are the officers and the people that are going to be in this? These are advertising people. These are advertising people, and because that's what brainwashing and propaganda is about. As a matter of fact, in Latin American countries, their word for commercials, like commercials between episodes of the show or stuff, their word for that is propaganda. They just call it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But up here, we have the two thoughts compartmentalized. Advertisements is one thing, and then brainwashing is something totally different, or propaganda is totally different. But no, they're exactly the same thing, and they use the same techniques and methods. So, you know, they are selling us a bill of goods all the time and stuff. And the greatest, you know, I'll tell you right now why this is happening, why the Biden administration is happening to us now, is because in March 2020, we were put to a test, an obedience test, and that was the COVID pandemic. And we passed that obedience test. They saw that enough Americans were obedient that they could push this LGBT hate whitey policy on America. And
the
we
game
would
everything.
Not fight them.
It's the war game everything on a social basis.
Do.
And they know precisely what's going to happen, what the pushback will be or won't be. They know. They got it going in. It's crazy. It's like playing a football game and knowing what your opponent's going to run at you every play. They know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's comprehensive. I mean, when you want to think about brainwashing, it's comprehensive. It's in every aspect of your life and your consciousness and stuff. I mean, they attack you on every level all the time from every direction, you know?
Is Russia going to tolerate depleted uranium being used against their tanks and men and equipment? The DU rounds are there now.
Yeah. Well, what they want to do is they want to blow them up before they ever get to the front line. But, you know, that's what they want.
They probably could
do a lot of that. You know?
Somehow the Ukes have an ability to pipeline this stuff. I don't know how they do it. They brought these British Challenger 2 tanks up there, they say. I don't know. I'll assume that they're there. And many other things. Meanwhile, we have been disarmed. We're 6 years behind in ammunition for our tanks, our field artillery, 6 years to get caught up. 5+ years behind in Stinger missile production. We don't have them. We've been disarmed. It's very clever.
Okay, so,
our Navy's
so Jeff,
going the opposite direction. Go ahead.
Our so-called leaders, they're aware of everything you just said.
And yet,
they are goading China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, Syria into war with us. We're goading them into a war we cannot possibly fight. You know, is that not insanity? You know?
It's designed to take us down. There's no other way to look at it.
Oh, yeah. It's intentional.
Two-front war, provoke China against Taiwan, and we're not going to go in there and do anything. They'll sink our ships real fast. They have hypersonic missiles. We don't.
Yeah.
We just gave up our number one program in developing them. They're done. We're not developing them.
Our most recent test a week ago failed. It failed.
And they dropped the Lockheed contract. They just quit it. So we're in trouble.
Yeah, I think so. We are.
All right, my friend. Thank you. Really good presentation,
you're very
as
welcome.
Always.
Thank you, Mitch.
Bye-bye. See ya. Bye. All right, that's our program for you tonight on Monday. Thanks for being here. Hope it was worthy. Feel free to listen again, and we'll be back with you tomorrow night. Take care. Talk soon.